Picture a government memo so bloated with bureaucratic jargon that it takes three paragraphs to say, close the curtains during blackouts. Franklin Roosevelt actually encountered this monstrosity, a directive instructing officials to completely obscure all federal buildings and non-federal buildings occupied by the federal government from visibility by reason of internal or external illumination. His rewrite? Tell them to put something across the windows. This isn't just about wordiness. It's about a national epidemic of clutter that infects everything from corporate emails to academic papers, from insurance forms to medical records. We've convinced ourselves that important ideas require important-sounding language, that complexity equals sophistication. The airline pilot can't say, "It may rain." He must anticipate experiencing considerable precipitation. The doctor doesn't mention death, but rather negative patient outcomes. This verbal inflation serves a darker purpose: distance. When executives discuss revenue enhancement opportunities instead of price hikes, or the military describes torture as enhanced interrogation techniques, language becomes a shield against uncomfortable truths. Fighting this clutter resembles battling weeds in a garden. You're always slightly behind as new varieties sprout overnight. The solution demands ruthless editing. Examine every word, eliminate unnecessary ones, replace long words with short ones, strip away redundant adverbs, and avoid passive constructions that smother meaning. After cutting clutter, many writers panic. Will anything remain of me? This fear is misguided. Simplicity shouldn't reduce your writing to see, spot, run sentences. Think of it as carpentry. You strip the wood down before building something beautiful. Most people don't realize how badly they write until forced to cut an 8-page article to 4 pages. The result invariably improves. Here's the deeper truth. Style isn't something you add like a toupee. It's organic to you, like your hair. The moment you try to sound writerly, readers notice the artifice. The fundamental rule demands something nearly impossible. Be yourself. This requires relaxation and confidence, qualities that evade most writers as they craft stiff, impersonal opening paragraphs before finally finding their voice several paragraphs in. Use I and me without apology. Even when I isn't permitted, good writers remain visible just behind their words. Who should you write for? Yourself. Don't visualize some mass audience. Every reader is different. If something amuses you while writing, include it. Worry about losing readers through sloppy workmanship, not about whether they like you. Words demand obsessive respect. English offers rich distinctions between apparent synonyms. The difference between house and home, thin and gaunt, childish and childlike alters your entire meaning. Study etymology and master the nuances separating good choices from perfect ones. Active verbs create clarity and vigor. Joe saw him demonstrates strength through brevity, while he was seen by Joe creates ambiguity and saps energy. Choose bright verbs that carry meaning in their sound: glitter, dazzle, twirl, beguile. Most adverbs are unnecessary clutter. Don't write blared loudly when blare already means loud sound. Adjectives should do necessary work, not merely decorate. Don't say something was rather spectacular or very awesome. Such words don't submit to measurement. Break long sentences into shorter ones. Use exclamation points sparingly. They rob readers of discovering humor themselves. The dash, invaluable but underrated, either amplifies a thought or sets apart parenthetical information. Alert readers to mood changes using pivotal words like but, yet, however, nevertheless. Despite what many were taught, starting sentences with but announces total contrast powerfully. Unity satisfies readers' subconscious need for order. Choose your pronoun, tense, and mood, then stick with them. Travel articles often fail by shifting between personal narrative, guidebook prose, and brochure speak. Before writing, ask, in what capacity will I address readers? What pronoun and tense serve my purpose? What single point should they take away? Think small. Instead of the history of jazz, focus on how bebop transformed jazz in the 1940s. Every successful piece should leave readers with one provocative thought they didn't have before. The most important sentence is the first one. If it doesn't pull readers to the second sentence, your article is dead. Your lead must capture readers with freshness, novelty, paradox, humor, surprise, or a compelling question. Each paragraph should amplify the preceding one. Pay special attention to the last sentence of each paragraph. It's the springboard to the next. The perfect ending should surprise readers slightly, yet seem exactly right. Science writing is thinking on paper. Anyone who thinks clearly can write clearly about anything. The key is remembering that the reader knows nothing. Never assume readers share your knowledge. Even basic terms like molecule need clear definitions. Science writing works like an upside-down pyramid. Start with one essential fact, perhaps a single atom or cell. Each sentence broadens the previous one, gradually moving from fact to significance. Begin with a water molecule, expand to surface tension, then explore how insects walk on water. Readers grasp broad implications only when grounded in one narrow fact. The best science writers humanize complex subjects through relatable analogies, DNA as a twisted ladder, electrons as planets orbiting a sun. Business writing follows similar principles. When I helped de-jargonize Greenwich schools, newsletters were filled with phrases like prioritized evaluative procedures. Principals learned to write as real people, transforming evaluative procedures were established into we will see how well we have succeeded. Interviewing improves with practice. Keep your notebook hidden initially to build trust. Research thoroughly, background, achievements, previous interviews. Prepare 20 questions, from factual to reflective. While tape recorders capture exact words, they create problems. Recordings require extensive editing, since spoken language rarely becomes readable prose. Writing by hand builds trust as subjects watch you work. Writing about places demands selectivity. Travelers want to tell everything. Readers want only what's significant. What makes your experience different? What isn't in guidebooks? Test each word for precision. If phrases come easily, they're likely cliches. Crystal clear waters demands replacement with specific details. What brings places alive is human activity, stories, traditions, daily rhythms of inhabitants. Emotional content comes best from others' words rather than your sentimentality. Of all subjects available to writers, the one you know best is yourself. Yet it's probably the subject you try hardest to avoid. One of life's saddest regrets is wishing you had asked your parents about their lives while you still had the chance. Writers serve as custodians of memory, preserving family history before it disappears. The crucial transaction in memoir is between you and your remembered experiences, requiring honesty and emotional truth above stylistic flourishes. The hardest part is organization. The past looms in countless fragments. The solution? Think small. Don't seek important episodes. Look for small, vivid incidents, like a grandmother's cooking lesson or a father's workshop ritual. Make your pieces jump out through humor, anecdote, paradox, unexpected quotations, powerful facts. Fiercely protect your style after submitting work. What you write is yours alone. Writing well means believing in yourself, taking risks, daring to be different. There's always someone reading your work for the first time. Don't let them down.